Good morning. Today's Daf Mem Tzias Mem Tes. We're going to be starting today on Mem Ches Mem Beis. We are about a third of the way down. We're going to start with the word Zitmar. The Gemara's discussion regarding payments and retraction and going into contract and then trying to break contract. And obviously serious topics, very halacha lemaisa, very practical. And so we're going to work our way through the sugya we have been working our way through, and we're going to continue. First of all, how is the transaction going to be finalized? Meaning, what's the kinyan? So that's a good question, and we discussed it at length yesterday's daf in the day prior. Mem Zayin Mem Ches here in Bava Metzia takes us through the most basic sugya of whether or not maos or konos when I pay for an item. So is that going to be kona the item? Is that an acquisition? Rav Yochanan says yes. Reish Lakish says no, and then the question is, according to Rav Yochanan, well, if I pay for the item, so doesn't that finalize the sale? And the answer is no, it doesn't finalize the sale. Well, isn't that confusing? If the Torah says that money finalizes a sale and then it doesn't, yeah, so that is rabbinic regulation, like we discussed in yesterday's daf. What the Chachamim wanted is that they wanted to protect the buyer. As we're going to learn a little bit later on also, they did also enact to protect the seller as well. But anyway, so it's rabbinic regulation in terms of the sale is not going to be finalized until commodity is actually taken, otherwise known as Mashicha. So good, that's the halacha. The halacha is like Rav Yochanan. We have spent a lot of time trying to defend the position of Reish Lakish. It's a mitzvah to defend the position of Reish Lakish. And nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Like we learned in yesterday's daf, Rav Nachman was on board with this idea of Rav Yochanan that really maos or konos, but it's a gzera de rabbanan, where the Chachamim sometimes, most of the time I should add, block the sale until you actually take product. Good. We talked about where there is a verbal commitment and I pay for the item and now retraction wants to occur. Now what? So we learned in yesterday's daf that under those circumstances, that's serious. Meaning even though the sale is not finalized, but we're so close to agreement over here. We're not close to agreement, by the way. We have agreed. And I even paid for the item. But but you still have the legal right to retract. But if you do so be warned that you're going to be under a curse, right? The Misha Parah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu extracts payment from people who do not keep their word. And we went over a list of people historically who are definitely not the best people. So in other words, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu extracted payment from them, so you should know, same thing's going to happen to you. So in other words, really serious stuff, though, even though legally you have the right to retract, but you really should not be retracting. And then finally, what we discussed yesterday, we're going to be discussing more today, is what about a verbal commitment? So a verbal commitment, does that allow for retraction? In other words, I didn't pay any money, but I made a verbal commitment. Does that allow for retraction? So a little bit, we talked about it yesterday, and we're going to be talking about more about it today. Good. Hopefully that gives us a good context for the topics that we have discussed and we're going to continue to discuss. Goal and plans for today is to make it to Mem Tes Amud Beis in the Mishnah. And what I'll do is I'll leave Ona over for tomorrow, right? Even though it's a good chunk of Ona left in today's daf, but that's my plan for today. And so I get to, at least from a subject standpoint, finish today's topic and tomorrow worry about Ona. Itmar. So now with all that stated, Mem Tes Amud Beis, a third of the way down. And now we're going to be discussing the following, and that is, what if I make payment, but I make partial payment, otherwise known as a down payment? So, itmar a ravon rav amar kenegdu hu kona, rav yochanan amar keneged kula hu kona. So, when I make a down payment on an item, how much am I acquiring of the item? Am I acquiring that which only is representative of the down payment? Of down payment, let's say, for example, 50% of the total sale, so maybe then now I have acquired 50% of product, and the other 50% of the product I have not acquired at all. Meaning, at that point in time, if seller would like to, he can go ahead and back out from the other 50%. Alternatively, down payment is the way you and I look at down payment, which is, I'm obviously interested in buying the whole thing, but right now I'm going to be giving you a percentage of the payment. But really, I'm acquiring the whole thing, which is Rav Yochanan's position. So, keneged kulo hu kona. So, we have the machlokas meisve, so the Gemara now is going to be challenging. And over here, the challenge is on Rav. So here in the Braisa, so we have two people who are basically pumping each other up. meaning I'm so committed to this deal. And the other one's like, I'm so committed to this deal. And how do I know, why do I say that they're pumping each other up? Meaning, how do I know that they're showering commitment one to the other? Because they're making these wild statements. Okay. One says to the other, im ani chozer bi, so ervoni machulach. Look, I'm giving you a down payment right now. If I back out from this point going forward, you keep it. That money that I give you, you keep it, meaning I'm telling you I'm in. And that's the buyer. And the seller says, you know what? The love that you gave to me, I'm going to give you the love right back to you. And if I back out from this commitment, so you see that down payment that you gave me? So I'm going to double it if, in fact, I back out of the deal. Now, when I say double it, so Rashi over here goes on to explain that what he really means is that
I will give
right. In other words, whatever the deposit is, I'll give you double product of the deposit. Okay, whatever. But the point is that they're making these really strong, almost like boastful statements of I'm in, I'm totally in. Now it happens to be Niskaima Tanaim Div Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says is that even though these commitments to one another are a little bit exaggerated, if you will, but Rav Yossi says they're both going to be bound by their commitments, right? And Rav Yossi Tami Damras Machtakanya. Now the Gemara points out that according to Rav Yossi, it happens to be true to form of Rav Yossi because he's of the position that Smachta Kanya. Smachta, so a discussion that we had back in Sanhedrin, and so we're having in today's daf as well. And that is the idea that even though it's something that is a little bit exaggerated, and I really don't know exactly how it's going to end out, but nevertheless, even though it is falling under this category of an Smachta condition where I'm not really fully in control of how it's going to end, nevertheless, Kona. In other words, that creates a kinyan. Asmachta Kanya is going to be the guiding or the principle in which we're going to be deliberating when discussing in the Gemara whether or not gambling is acceptable or unacceptable. Meaning, I'm not talking about ethics. I'm just talking about whether or not you acquire the money when you gamble. So, in other words, you don't know how the results are going to end up, and yet I'm sitting down at the table. So do I legally acquire the money if I win, or do I legally have to give up the money if I lose? So that's an asmachta discussion, similar to this discussion over here. It's not the same, but it's similar. Meaning that, right, basically I'm making these exaggerated claims, these exaggerated conditions. But again, Rav Yossi is of the position that asmachta kanya. Good. And Rav Yehuda, Omer Dayushikne Keneged Ervono. Now what Rav Yehuda will tell you is no, in other words, I do not subscribe to asmachta. In other words, the wild, exaggerated claims of you can keep my down payment if we renege, or I'm going to double the down payment product to you if I renege. So those you don't have to abide by. But in other words, just let's strip everything down to its basics. And the basics are is that you gave me a down payment. So if we renege, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to either refund the down payment or I'll give you product against the down payment. That's the position of Rav Yehuda. Amr Shimon ben Gamliel, so far so good. So right now in this brisa, what do we have? We have a machlokas tonight between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And really, in other words, there's an asmachta component to the debate. But after that, in other words, put asmachta aside because it's not really our focus. In other words, what comes out when all said and done is that when you're putting down a down payment, the down payment is going to be paying for whatever whatever percentage you're paying. Good. That's step one of the brisa, but we're not done yet. Amar Rishimim ben Gamliel. Bamedvar mamorim bizman shamar lo. Ervoni yikon. This is all going to be true when you made the declaration that ervoni yikon. My down payment should acquire. If you say those words, so then, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, meaning see above. Avamach lo baiso sadabel of zozo parlo mehem chamish mezuz. But if it's a simple sale, where, let's say, for example, I'm buying a property, and I'm buying a property, and the property is worth 1,000 zuz, and I'm putting down a down payment of 500 zuz. So, the umachzer lo kana umachzer lo zeshar filacher kamashanim. So, number one, you have acquired the entire property. Okay, again, it's what we're so used to hearing time and again, just in our day to day, and that is, it's a down payment. It's a down payment, but obviously, I didn't buy half the house. I did not buy half the property. I bought the entire property. It just happens to be that right now, currently, here's the money I have right now. I'm going to give you a down payment. Obviously, there's an agreement in terms of what the down payment's going to look like. And then as far as everything, as far as the balance is concerned, so that's a loan. But in other words, but I purchased the entire property. And even though you are delinquent in payment and it's taking years for you to pay the balance, nevertheless, you've acquired the entire property. Now, my love. Now, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is basically teaching us that when you put down a down payment, you've acquired everything, even though the down payment is only representative of a fraction of what its value is. Nevertheless, the acquisition is going on the whole thing. Now, it happens to be that Rav Shimon Gamliel is describing the purchase of property. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to make the jump. And that is that really shouldn't matter whether or not you're buying property or you're buying movables. And my love, who adil matatlan b'destam akana lelukulu. Now, ostensibly, Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going to make any kind of discrimination between the purchase of a property and the purchase of movables, meaning that a down payment is going to acquire everything. Now, that happens to be the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, if we're reading Rav Shimon ben Gamliel correctly, so now what comes out over here is that when you're paying for something and you're not paying it for in full and you're only paying a portion of it, nevertheless, you're buying the whole thing. Whether we be talking about karka, whether we be talking about metatalin, that is the position of Rabbi Yochanan, and obviously now that's against the position of Rav. So what the Gemara is going to do is what the Gemara does, and that is defend. So lo, the Gemara says no. So metatalin b'sama lokani, so no. If we're talking about metatalin, so no. You only putting part of the money only entitles you to part of the sale. Umayishna, well then, what's the difference between buying movables versus buying property? Gemara explains. Karka debikasba kanile mamish. So kanile lekule metato lo kanile elakbule mishapara lo kanile kule. The Gemara says the distinction is so good, and that is when I'm buying property, what is the vehicle? What is the instrument used to buy property? We learned together the Mishnah and Kedushin. We all know the instrument to buy property is either kesef, shtar, or chazaka. Meaning kesef for property is an instrument of acquisition. I acquire using kesef. Since kesef is the instrument in which I make a kinyan, so therefore, even though I haven't paid for the entire property, but since money is the vehicle in which I'm going to be buying the property, therefore it allows me to buy the entire property, even though I haven't paid for it in full. When it comes to movables, is kesef the instrument to acquire movables? No. How do you acquire movables? Mishicha. Since the acquisition of movables is only done via mishicha and not via kesef, so then when I put down not total purchase price, but I only put a fraction of it down, that only entitles me to the amount that I put down. A very clear and just good distinction between the purchase of metatlin versus the purchases of property. The Gemara has successfully defended the position of Rav. Okay, I'll make a quick parenthetical note. In other words, the Rashbag says there's a difference whether you said the words yikon, what's the language? Bamedvar mamorim bizman she'amar lo ervoni yikon. There's a distinction to be made between when you say the words ervoni yikon versus where it's just a sale and you don't make any kind of declaration. Okay, I didn't explain that well, but in other words, Irvoni Yokon literally means my down payment should acquire. Take a look at Rashi over here, take a look at Tosus over here, meaning I'm acknowledging that I bypassed a lot of discussion, which is important just in terms of the basic outline of the Gemara. It's not necessary vis-a-vis just what the Gemara is, what the objective of the Gemara is doing. Meaning the objective of the Gemara is that this Braisa is a challenge on Rav, and the Gemara defended Rav. And what I'm highlighting that what I really focused on is how is it a challenge against Rav and how has Rav defended himself? But there are details which I didn't cover. Sorry. Just a lot to go through and just, you know. Lema Kitanai. Let's continue. Okay, so we are right now, let's reset. We have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. When I make a partial payment, a down payment on movable, so how much of it did I acquire? According to Rav Yochanan, everything. According to Rav, only commensurate to the amount that I paid. But the remainder I have not acquired. And so the Gemara now is going to propose that this machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan is really a machlokus Tanaim. So Amav is chaver la mashko v'nichnasa shmita. So here we go, and that is that I lend money and I take collateral, and now shmita year comes. So everyone knows the basics. Let's go over, and that is principle is not part of our discussion. So so let's go over the basics, and that is that if I have an unsecured loan that goes into the shmita year, so what happens? The shmita year cancels that loan. Good. So in other words, I was owed money. I'm no longer owed money. Shmita cancels. Good. That's what we know. We also know that if I lend money and I'm holding collateral against that loan, shmita is not going to cancel. Now, why isn't shmita going to cancel a loan that has collateral being held against it? Because the Torah says that you know what you're going to do in the shmita year, or you know what you're not going to do in the shmita year. Lo yigos, you cannot press. In other words, the Torah is basically saying that when I'm a lender and I have a borrower, and shmita comes and goes, so I no longer have the ability. I no longer have the ability to press. If I'm holding collateral, I don't need to press. I'm holding collateral. So therefore, a collateralized loan is not going to be canceled in the Shemitah year. So far, so good. Those are the basics. Now, in other words, Prisbol is a rabbinic is a rabbinic institution that we're not taking into account right now.
But does Prisbol apply when you have collateral?
No need for Prisbol.
That's my point. So
good, no need.
Yeah.
Prisbol is when the loan is unsecured. Okay, good. So good. So now with that in mind, so what are we going to be discussing? Well, let's take now the value of the collateral. Let's take the loan and let's do loan to value. Meaning we now know that if the, let's go nice and simple. If the loan was 1,000 and the collateral was 1,000, so Shemitah is not going to cancel any part of the loan. But now let's get exciting. Let's say the loan is 1,000, but the collateral is only 500. What's Shemitah going to cancel? Is Shemitah going to cancel the balance of the loan? Good question. Let's see the price inside. So, I'll start again. Hamav is chaver la mashkom v'nichnas la shmita afa pishenu shavay la plag. So, eino mishame div Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Shemitah is not going to be mishame. Ostensibly, Rav Shimon Gamliel is telling us that Shemitah is not going to cancel any of the loan. Hold that thought. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer im haya mashkon keneged alvaso in a mishamit v'im lav mishamit, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that if the mashkon is keneged alvaso, if it's dollar for dollar collateral to loan, if LTV is 100%, so then in a mishamit, so then there's not going to be a cancellation. However, im lav, but if the collateral is anything less than loan, so then LTV is, let's say, 80% or whatever. Whatever number below 100, so then Mishamit. So then Shemitah is going to cancel. Okay, now, in the Braisa that we just learned together, so a little bit of ambiguity. In other words, the language used in the Braisa is Shemitah is going to cancel, Shemitah is not going to cancel. Which part of the loan? Now, perfect setup. So, Mayinu Mishamit Dekam Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, Ilei Mekenegdo. So, when Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's not Mishamit, so what is he talking about? It's not mishamit. Are we talking about the part of the loan that actually represents the collateral? So mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Anasi savar lach palganami mishamit. Well, then it sounds like the Rashbag says that if the collateral is anything less than loan, so then it sounds like that Shemitah is going to come and cancel even the portion that is commensurate to the collateral. But elamashkon denaki lamali. Well, why did I give you collateral if it's not even securing that amount of the loan? It can't be. No, I'm saying it so emphatically, by the way. Can't be. Wait, hold that thought. But anyway, can't right now. Right now, just I'm going with the flow of the Gemara. Can't be. So elalav shmami na ma'ina mishami dekam rishim and gamliel ena mishami bekulo umai mishami dekam rav yura nasi lach pagad elonaki elamashkon. Beautiful. And so, over here, the machlokus between these Tanayim, these giants, the Rashbag, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the machlokus between them is obviously not on the part that collateral represents, but on the balance. So let's go nice and simple. The loan was 1,000. The collateral was 500, right? Loan to value, 50%. Good. So now what's the machlokus between
collateral to value.
Collateral to value. Thank you. So now what's the machlokus on the actual percentage of the collateral? That obviously is not going to be canceled. Shemitah is not going to forgive that because I'm holding 50% of it. So the only machlokus between the two of them is on the balance, on the unsecured portion of the loan. So the And Rav Yehuda Nasi Savar Kenegdo Hukone. And beautiful. And over here, the machlokus between these Tanaim is basically the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And that is that when I put a portion of payment, is portion of payment just simply representative for the rest? The rest, obviously, I still owe. But in other words, it represents the entire sale. Or in this case, the entire loan. Or no. Or maybe the portion I pay is only going to be representative of whatever percentage it represents, but not anything more than that. And so over here, this machlokus tanaim is really just a reflection of the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What a beautiful suggestion. And you know what's going to happen next. My ena mishamid dekam Rav Shimon Gamliel lahach pagad enakid ala mashkan. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to what I said was ridiculous just moments earlier. The Gemara is like, it's not ridiculous. The Rashbag says that Shemitah is not going to cancel the portion of the loan that is secured by the collateral. That's what Shemitah is not going to cancel. The balance, according to the Rashbag, of course Shemitah is going to cancel. Yeah.
Well, technically.
Let me just first finish the point and then I'll pause. Mechlal Rav Yehuda Anasi Sarvel Ach Pagad Anaki Ala Mashkon Nami Mishamit. And that means now that Rav Yehuda Anasi is obviously arguing with the Rashbag. So his position is Shemitah cancels it all. If your mashkon is not equal to the loan, it will cancel all of it. So the Gemara says, well, that's so funny. So then you're telling me that if the collateral is not equal to the loan, if collateral to loan is anything less than 100%, so then you're telling me that the collateral isn't securing any of the loan? Gemara says, that's right. Ela mashkon denakit lamali. So why are you holding the collateral? So lezichron dvarim ba'alma. It is a placeholder. It's a reminder, right? In other words, what it's going to do is that it's a tangible item that's going to remind each one of us that, hey, you owe me money. But in other words, if collateral is anything less than loan than the value of the loan, the collateral is not serving to secure any portion of the loan, zero, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Meaning what the Gemara now is offering is a totally different shot, and Alan is picking at this, and that is that if you are providing collateral that is anything less than the loan, so you can make the argument, not only could you, Rav Yehuda Anasi does make the argument that is not securing the loan. It's there as a placeholder. It's there as a reminder. It's a tangible, concrete item that reminds each other, hey, you owe me money. But in other words, it's not their secure loan. And now, when Shemitah comes, Shemitah is going to cancel all of it.
My only question is, I agree with Shemitah canceling the loan, but if you have collateral, are you going to get to keep what you got?
Right.
Or do you have to give that back?
So according to Rav Yehuda Anasi, again, I'm offering you my thoughts for whatever they're worth. According to Rav Yehuda Anasi, so it would sound like no. In other words, it was just a reminder.
That makes no sense.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm sorry I'm not doing a better job defending his position.
I'm picking on you. I'm picking on Yehuda Anasi, which maybe I have no right to.
Yeah, correct. I agree with that. So, but good. Beautiful. So where are we right now in the Gemara? So we have attempted to say that the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan is really a machlokus between Rav Yehuda Anasi and the Rashbag. We have attempted to say that, and the Gemara says, okay, that was a nice attempt, but they're not. It's not the same. It's not the same machlokus. They're not arguing over the same issues. It's a question now of collateral, the nature of collateral. What happens when collateral is less than the value of the loan? How do we look at the collateral? It's not the same. It's a different machlokus. And so therefore, we're left right now with a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What if you pay down payment? Is that down payment now going to be paying for the entire purchase? Or no, only representative to whatever the down payment represents of the purchase price? Good. A story. Rav Kahana, Yavalei Zizek Kisna. So Rav Kahana was there selling flax. Sure, Rav Papa selling beer, Rav Kahana selling flax. And Rav Kahana remembers a student of Rav. We just went through the Gemara and Baba Kama at the end of the Masechta. Right? What an unbelievable story about how Rav Kahana had to leave his Rebbe. Right? There was a Moser in town. Right? Remember the highlights? Well, what a story. Mm-hmm. There was a Moser in town. Rav Kahana killed him. Rav said, okay, good. Yeshar koach, but in other words, I'll see you. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeshar koach, but I'll see you. I'll see you. In other words, enjoy your exile. And Rav Kahana was exiled to Israel. Okay. Anyway, highlights of the story. Anyway, so I'm assuming right now we're going to an earlier chapter in Rav Kahana's life. Rav Kahana was a student of Rav, and Rav Kahana knew he needed to earn money, so he sold flax. So now what happens is as follows: Yaveli Zusa Kisna. So somebody came over and gave him money for flax. In other words, they purchased for the flax. And Lesofi Yaker Kisna. And you know this based on the context of our Gemara. In other words, and it was only a down payment that was paid that was paid for the flax. Now, Lisofi Yaker Kisna. So, how frustrating it is for sales in general. In other words, after the sales completed. Now, remember, by the way, please understand we're talking within the context of the Gemara. I say sales completed. What I really mean is that money was paid. We all know together, Kisna obviously is a movable item. So, in other words, the sale is not finalized. In other words, there obviously is a strong commitment made at this point in time, now that the money's been exchanged, but the sale's not finalized. And to complicate matters, so the money was not given for the full sale, but only part of the sale. And now to complicate matters further, what just happened after the money's been exchanged is that the price of flax flew up. And now, of course, Rav Kahana would love to cancel the sale so that he could make more money. Okay, so Lesofi Yaker Kisna Asa Kamed Rav Amalei B'may Denekat Nikita Zuze Hav Lehu V'idach Dvarim Ninu V'dvarim Ein Bahem Mishum Mechusrei Amana. So now he goes to his Rebbe Rav and he says to Rav, what do I do? So Rav says, look, on the money that he gave you, so you have to honor it. You have to honor it. So in other words, he paid you for part of the flax, so for that which he paid you, so then you're going to have to pay him. Now, by the way, this is Rav being consistent to what he just taught us earlier this morning, which is that when you make a down payment, so the down payment is only going to be reflective of whatever percentage of the sale it was. Good. So you understand Rav's consistency over here. The excitement over here is that Rav says, on the balance, you have the right to back out. On the balance. Now Rashi writes over here, the reason why Rav says that you have the right to back out on the balance, in other words, even though there was no monetary commitment on the balance, there was a verbal commitment on the balance, but Rashi writes over here, but circumstances now have changed. The price went up. And when the price goes up, says Rashi, you now, according to Rav, have no need to keep your verbal commitment.
Without a
Mishapara. Right. In other words, over here, it's not even Mishapara, because on the balance, there was no money exchanged. So it's not even Mishapara. But as we learned in yesterday's daf, but there still is a need to keep your word. Mishapara is the curse. That's the curse that you're going to be receiving for retracting and backing out. But the Mishapara curse is only once the money's exchanged. But we're talking now about the balance of the sale where there was no money on the balance of the sale, but there was a verbal commitment. But Rashi writes over here, and it's clear from the context of the Gemara, that because the price now went up, so you're not even bound by having to keep your verbal commitment on the balance. Now, did Mar Dvarim Rav Amarin by Mishum Mechusrei Amana Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh by Mechusrei Amana? Now, Dvar meaning a verbal commitment. So Rav's up of the position of that the Ein Bahen Mishum Mechusrei Amana. By you backing out, you have not lost your credit score. Now, I'm saying credit score, by the way. I'm sorry, it's a little bit confusing the way I'm saying it, because you know we think of credit scores meaning how you're judged in terms of your credit rating. I mean credit over here meaning your faithfulness, meaning can you now be considered a trustworthy individual? So I don't really mean your credit score, I mean your trust score, okay?
It's the same, because the credit score correct. Is based on the
correct, correct.
History.
I'm so happy. You really do understand me. Good. So I am conflating the two, but the point is that you're, according to Rav, your trust has not been impugned or impaired. And Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Ben Mishum Mechusrei Amana. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. And the Maizvei and the Gemara says, okay, challenge. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ma Tamal Omer. So, Hin Tzedek. So, the Torah tells us that when you measure, So your measurements have to be fair. Fair meaning correct and accurate. The Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim that the pasuk reads Moznei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, Hin Tzedek, Yelachem. That when you have your measurements that you're measuring, in other words, you're making a sale and he's buying a pound, and you're measuring a pound, make sure that that scale that you're using is measuring it a pound. In other words, there is an agreed upon unit of measurement, and you have to know that you are not cheating him. Good, very simple. So the so straightforward. Hmm. And meanwhile, the Gemara over here is now focusing, the Bryce is focusing on the fact that it says Hin Tzedek, and it also says Eifa. So now Hin is made up of 12 lugin. Eifa is made up of 72 lugin. That's all you need to know. So Bechlal, so V'halo Hin Bechlal Eifa Haya. So now, the Torah says that your Eifa's got to be correct, and your Hin's got to be correct. And that's redundant. And not only is it redundant, by the way, but if your Eifa has got to be correct. Now, your Eifa's got 72 lugin. So let's say I don't sell him 72 lugin. Maybe I cheat just a little bit, 71. The Torah says you're cheating. And that's wrong. So if I know that the deviation from the 72 lugin is wrong, and an Isser in the Torah, so if I'm cheating him where the unit measurement is even smaller, and I'm cheating him there, like that's a no-brainer. Of course you can't do that. The Torah must be giving us another message in addition to the simple pshat of the pasuk. So elalam elchashiyeh hein shochat tzedek v'lav shochat tzedek. So the word hein over here could be also understood as hein. Sorry, let's do that again. Let's do it better. The word hin could be understood as hein, which what the word hein means, yes, which means that when you say yes, your yes should be a yes, and when you say no, your no should be a no. You should be faithful and committed to your word. Okay? And however many cliches you want to say it, you need to honor your word. It's that simple. And so over here, now this Bryce is telling us is that when you made a verbal commitment, you got to keep it. Meaning you really need to keep your word. So how can we have this debate between Rav and Rav Yochanan as to whether or not Devarim, a verbal commitment, do I need to keep it? Do I not need to keep it? Like, what are you talking about? We have a Bryce. So Amra by Yahu Shalo Yidaber Echa Bepev Echa Belev. So Abayu will tell you no. In terms of what we just learned together, is that yes, you should keep your word, but that's not the point of the Braisa. The point of the Braisa is that you should not be duplicitous. You shouldn't think one thing and say another. In other words, you should be consistent. Your mouth and your thoughts should be consistent with one another. Meaning that when you say yes, it's not because you meant no, but you're saying yes. In other words, when you're saying yes, it's because you meant yes. And when you say no, it's because you were thinking no, and therefore you're going to say no, right? To give a simple example from Chumash, in other words, the brothers of Yosef. So, right, the brothers of Yosef, so they were honest about their feelings of Yosef, right? Yosef is a favorite son. Yosef got the Ketonas HaPasim. And right, lo yachlo davro l'shalom, the pasuk says. They couldn't talk to him. In other words, why? Because they couldn't be disingenuous with the way they felt. Okay? And obviously, in other words, right, you shouldn't hate. And right? Good. But in other words, but to be consistent with your thought process, that's the only point the Bryce is making. Okay. Meisvei. The Gemara is going to be challenging Rav a second time. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afa Pisham Rutalis Kona Dinazar, Vin Dinazar Kona Talis, Mikama Kamakach Alacha, Vahamra Misha Paramanche Doramabo, Manche Doraflaga, Huasili Parami Mishain Ome Bidiburo. So we have the Bryce, which we've heard already numerous times, and that is that when I pay for the item, but I haven't taken the item, so even though the sale's not been finalized, but I am now bound by, in this case, not only a verbal commitment, but I'm also bound by the fact that I paid money. But you could have argued that this is where money was exchanged and that's why you have to keep your commitment. But if you're listening carefully in the way I just ended the Braisa, who asidli para mi she'eino omed b'diburo. It's not so much a function of you paid, which again is important, but you also made a verbal commitment as well. Both parties verbally committed that this sale is going to happen. And once we made a verbal commitment, you got to keep to your verbal commitment. And once again, now this is difficult for Rav. Because Rav told the student, Rav Kahana, look, on the part that he paid for already, so that you're going to give him. But on the other part, you can renege. You can retract. Now, again, by the way, it's complicated because the prices went up and circumstances changed. But the idea over here is that Rav is basically comfortable with the idea that even though you made a verbal commitment, you can retract from your verbal commitment. And now, for a second Bryce in a row, we're hearing that no, once you make a verbal commitment, you got to keep your verbal commitment. So it's an ahi.
Isn't Rav also saying that if there's extenuating circumstances?
Right, I know. That's what makes this Gemara is complicated because, right, I pointed it out. Right.
If there's a legitimate reason.
Very good, very good.
You're not really breaking your word.
Excellent. And I agree with you. That's why, right, the keeping the verbal commitment is just, you know, it's obviously a value, but like you just pointed out, circumstances change, and so there's a good reason over here. Okay, but the Gemara is just like focused on this idea that there is a general value in the Torah that when you make your word, you got to keep your word. And now second Bryce in a row tonight, the Gemara says, I know, but it's a machlokas tanaim. How do I know it's a machlokas tanaim? Did not, because of the following. Now, Dad said to the kid, okay, good, look, I'm gonna start giving you responsibilities on the family business. Okay, you're going to go hire workers. So what does the kid do? The kid goes and hires workers. And what do you? How do you think the story is going to end? Alan, you can already tell me how the story is going to end. Right? In other words, right. So the kid comes back and he says, okay, I got the workers. And here was my negotiation with them. And I promised them lunch. And dad lost it. You promised them what? You promised them lunch? You got to be kidding me. So the Sikhshabai to Aviv Amarlo Bini. I feel Atahosalahem Kisuda Shlomo Bishaito Loyatsi De Chovas Chaimahem. Shehim Bene Avram Yitzhak Vyakov. Do you know what lunch is gonna have to look like? That's absurd. In other words, they are the children of Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. Right? What do you think we're gonna put out? Just a kiddush and they're gonna be happy? That is wildly insufficient. And it's just so interesting, by the way, because the Gemara makes it sound like over here, like when you do not specify what lunch is going to look like, so lunch has got to be really nice, and they're going to have right, and they're going to have a legitimate right to say that that's not lunch, that's called snack. Ella achelo yaschilu b'mlachat seva amor lahem amenashein she'in lachem alai ella pasvikinis bavad. No. You go back and you renegotiate and you tell them, here's what lunch is going to look like. You make it very clear. There's going to be some bread. You know what? Let me kidneys. We'll even throw out some lentils. But you got to make it clear that this is what lunch is going to look like. And you tell them the menu. Okay, now what's going on over here clearly is that there was a verbal commitment and then there's a renegotiation. So over here, if the kid went out there and made a verbal commitment, how can he back out? Now we all know the answer. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Shani Hasan de Palim Gufayu lo samcha daitayu. The workers knew who they were negotiating with. They knew they weren't negotiating with Dad. They knew they were negotiating with the kid.
But wasn't he a shliach for his dad?
I hear you.
Also, the terms of the agreement wasn't made. They said lunch. He's just clarifying what lunch is going to be.
Okay, it's all good. The Gemara is saying it very clearly. Let's just go with what the Gemara is saying. They knew they were not negotiating with the boss. They knew that. So, and therefore, there was no smichas das. Smichas das is that level of comfort that there was a real commitment that was made. So my time, I made the other the alavu asamach. In other words, they knew that it's not what the kid's going to say; it's whatever Dad agrees to. So he hachi afilo hitzkel b'malachanami. So the Gemara says, okay, but did you hear what Dad told the kid? Quickly, go back and renegotiate before they start working. Well, in other words, if they're not relying on what the kid said, so even if they started working, why is it so important that we got to renegotiate the lunch agreement? The menu,
but
why do you have to renegotiate before they start working? So the Gemara says, "Hitzchilu b'mlacha v'adei samcha daitayu." Amar meimar amar kamei davu v'nichalei. So the Gemara says, because once they start working, here's their thought process. Their thought process is that by the time we started working, The kid reported to the father what the terms of agreement were and what lunch is going to look like and what the menu is going to look like. And it must be that dad must have agreed to it. That's their thought process.
And if they start working, it could also be considered a deposit.
Is it right? Good. Very good. Again, just working with what the Gemara is saying.
Could that be where it's
It going? Could be. It could be. But in other words, the Gemara spells it out. That their thought process is that once they start working, it must be that dad agreed to those terms. Okay, good. Okay, so again, just to reset, machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, verbal commitment. Are you allowed to back out from verbal commitment? Rav said yes, and Rav Yochanan says no. And two times over now, we challenged Rav, we defended Rav, we are now presenting that's the machlokes tanaim. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure it's the machlokes tanaim. This brisa that we just learned together, there was no real commitment that was made. They knew they weren't dealing with the boss. They were just dealing with the kid of the boss. So the Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Achiv Amar Rav Abba Barchan Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Lechaver Matana Ani Nosin Lecha Yachol Achzer Bo. So Yachol Pshita Ela Muter Lachzer Bo. So the Gemara says now Rav Yochanan says that if I promise you a matana, and so what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to back out. And even though he said yachol, what he really meant is mutter, meaning yachol. We all knew that mutter. You're allowed to back out. So now we are a little bit past the machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and now we're zooming into Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, you're confusing us. You told us previously that you can't back out from a verbal commitment, and now you just taught us that you can. So Amar Papa Mode Rav Yochanan Matana Muatas to Samcha Daitayu. Rav Yochanan will be Mode. And over here, the Gilan Hashos, Rabbi Kiva Eger, right here on the side of the Gemara, quotes the Rashba and the Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara and Gittin, the Rashba over there and Gittin says that the word modeh sometimes means that you're not agreeing to somebody else, but you are capitulating even within your own opinion. This is Rav Yochanan, who is making a carve out in his own opinion, which is, I normally will tell you that the verbal commitment, you are allowed to back out. However, my carve out is matana muatas. If let's say the gift is a small gift, so then you cannot back out from a verbal commitment. There your smichas die. Your smichas das. In other words, there your verbal commitment achieves the level of security between both parties, in which now both parties will understand that you really mean it. Now, if we're talking about a substantial gift, and even though you made a verbal commitment, even Rav Yochanan will tell you that you can go ahead and you can back out. Now, Hachinami Mistabra, the Gemara says, and I know we're right about this. I know we're right about this point. That if we're talking about a small gift, so even Rav Yochanan will tell you that at that point in time, you are committed. Hachinami Mistabra, the Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi, Kor Meiser, Yesh Lecha Biyadi. So now, let's say I have the following, and that is that I have a farmer going over to the Levi and saying, hey, right, I really like you. My Maaser Rishon, 10%, I'm going to give it to you. A verbal commitment. He didn't actually give it to him. A verbal commitment that I'm going to give you my Maaser. Okay, good. Now what the Levi does, and it's funny, the Gemara calls him a Ben Levi. Okay, but you understand, a Ben Levi is a Levi. Okay, so the now, Yesh Chabiyadi Ben Levi, Rasha La'asos, Rishomas Maaser, Amokam Achir. Now, even though the Levi has not actually received his Maaser yet, but what he now is allowed to do is he's allowed to now take off the Trumas Maasers from other produce that he has on the promised Maaser that's coming to him. I mean, just to be clear, the Levi gets his Maaser, so what he has to do is he has to take 10% of that and give it to the Kohen. It's called Trumas Maaser. So what he can do is that he can take off Trumas Maaser on the promised 10% that's coming in his direction. Okay, good.
Deposit.
So no deposit. It just simply was promised him.
I understand, but he's pending.
Pending. Yeah. Okay, good. But yeah, but no deposit. So Trumas Maaser Makom Acher. So now Iyamar Bishlam Lo Matzi La Mahadre Bei Mishum Hachi Rashai. Iyamar Matzi Mahadre Bei. So Amai Rashai Ishaket Tekachol Tvalim. So the Gemara says now over here. So are you allowed to renege or are you not allowed to renege? Meaning, if you are allowed to renege, so the Levi hasn't received the Maaser yet. So in other words, there's no way that he can go ahead now and take off Trumas Maaser on the Maaser that he hasn't received yet And if it's renegable, so then it's not his. And the only way we can understand this is that if you don't have the ability to retract. So this must be something which is not retractable. That's the correct way to understand it. Now, just as an interesting, it's not even a side note. It's an important point over here. Is this a big gift or a small gift?
Small gift.
So interestingly enough, right? It's a small. Correct. It's a small gift. Now, why is it a small gift? Of course, sounds like a lot, but it took me a moment to wrap my head around this. But it is a small gift. Why is it a small gift? Because the farmer has to give this away. In other words, it's not like I'm gifting the core. In other words, it's Meiser. He has to give it. The only executive decision that he has is who to give it to. Right? That's what's called, beautiful. So that's what's called Tova Sana. So that Tova Sana, that is what he is giving. But that Tova Sana, it's small.
If it's a big amount, it's like you don't believe it. I'll give you $1 million if I
Correct. Right? That's the distinction between big gift versus small gift. But over here, I'm just explaining that the context over here is that this is viewed halachically as a small gift. So over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a small gift. And over here, you can't renege on it. Oh, so So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but the proof is not an absolute proof because it could be that what we're describing over here is where the Levi actually received it, and then handed it back to the farmer so that the farmer would hold on to it. In other words, pikadum. So the Gemara says, I don't know about that, because continue on in this brisa. It's not a brisa. So the nasa leben Levi acher ein lo alav taramus. Okay, now, what if after the verbal commitment, after the verbal promise, what happens? The farmer decided, you know what? I'm going to give it to another Levi. So now the first Levi has what's called taramus. In other words, I'm going to have beef with you. Okay, as we would say over here. Meaning, right, I'm so unhappy with you. But that's it. In other words, you don't have any legal footing. You do have the right to be upset with the individual, but that's it. So Isaac Adacha Kagoshanat Lemiman of Chazaviv Kidoslam Ain Loela Love Taramas, Kevin Damashke, Mamonis Le Gabe. So clearly over here, the first Levi didn't actually take it, because had the first Levi actually taken it, so it's his. It's his. Elav Shmamina, Bidolo Natlo. So Shmamina. So the Gemara says over here, well, he didn't take it, and so it's a Matan Muatis. And still, even though it's a matana muates, once you make a verbal commitment, you really should be keeping by your verbal commitment. Comes out over here, by the way, that this is not going to be a proof. In other words, we wanted to say that Rav Yochanan would say that by matana muates, you do have to abide by your verbal commitment. You do have to abide by your verbal commitment. And I'm sorry. And this story actually is evidence to the fact that you do have to. You really need to keep by your verbal commitment if you made it. By Matan Muatis. Okay. Let's finish up. All right, I told you I want to get to the Mishnah. We have a couple minutes. So a person paid for a sesame. And before actually taking the sesame, so the market went up. Okay. So Hajubahu. So now the seller said, okay, I'm really sorry. Right? I'm not honoring the sale. I know you paid me, but in other words, I like to make more money. I'm not honoring this deal. So I'm relay lace on shumshami. And the mocher said to the kona, seller said to the buyer, okay, here's your money back. Lo shakol zuze. And now the buyer says, I refuse. I'm not taking my money back. In other words, I paid for the sesame. You're going to give me the sesame. Okay, so we're at a standoff right now. So Ignov, okay, and just to complicate matters, the money was then subsequently stolen. So Asla Kamid de Rava. So now they go to Rava. Okay, so what is going to be the seller's responsibility regarding that money? Now the money, he wanted to refund the money. He told the buyer, I'm refunding you the money. Now again, there's a verbal commitment, and not only a verbal commitment, but a payment, but the sale's not been finalized. Okay, and so even though the seller morally, ethically, and even was looking at a curse coming in his direction, but the sale's not been finalized, and the seller told the buyer, you take back your money. And the buyer refused to take back his money and the money stolen. So Amr Lei came to Amr Lei Shkol Zuzech Velo Shakalta Lo Mi Bai Shem Asachar Delo Havi Ala Afilo Shem Echinim Nami Lo Havi. Okay, in terms of the seller's liability,
zero
liability. Why? Because the seller told the buyer, you come and you take back your money, and it was the buyer's refusal to take back his money, the seller now has no liability towards that money. Good. So Amalei Rabban Larava Vahabai Likbule Allah Mishapara. So Amalei Achinami. But the seller is standing, is looking at a curse. The Gemara says, I'm aware of that. In other words, but okay, that's the seller's decision. The seller is looking at a curse. I'm going to say it, but please understand me in the context. That's fine. Meaning the seller is ready to accept the curse. Whatever. Let's just leave it like that. He should have. But in other words, but he accepted it. And he told the buyer, look, I'm going to get cursed. You come in, you take back your money, and that's it. He's no longer a shomer in that money. He's exempted his liability. He's excused himself from liability. Amra papi, amra li ravina li didi, amra li ahu me rabbanan, av rav tuvu shmei, va amra li rav shmo bar zucha shmei, di ihavi yavi li kol chalala da amalo haveka mishan midibure. Now, as far as the story is concerned, so there's a variation of the story, and the Gemara would like to provide for us now a variant version of the story. And that is as follows. First of all, I know who the story was involved. The Gemara named names. And the Gemara says, and it happens to be that I know that this person would not back out on his word. So I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to give you another version of the story. And b'didi ava uvda hu yuma, apani damali shabasa ava vahavi yasvin vasa hu gavra v'kai abava v'armale isle shum mechel ezvune. Okay, so here we now go with the second version of the story, because in this version, there's no way that the seller would ever backed out of his commitment. So here we now have version number two of the story. And that is that the buyer came and it was Erev Shabbos. And the buyer says to the seller, hey, I heard you have sesame to sell me. It's true. Amrele isle shum lezvune. Amrele lo. So now Erev Shabbos, so the seller says, right now I have no product. Meaning, first of all, we're close to Shabbos right now. I don't know what you're doing here. Okay, sorry, that was my narration. But on top of that, right now, I don't have product to sell you. Okay, so Amar li lehavei hanafzuzei bebekadon gabech tahachash kali. So the buyer says to the seller, look, right now, all right, it's Erev Shabbos. I don't want to go home with the money right now. I'm leaving the money by you. Okay, in other words, then, And you're going to get product. I know you're going to get product. And when we get to that point in time, so then I'm going to go ahead and make the purchase. But I'm leaving the money by you. Amrle habesach kamach. Now over here, the tone is so important. Obviously, the words are important, but the tone is important as well. So now the seller says to the buyer, look, I'm not selling you right now. I don't have anything to sell you. You want to leave the money by me? My house is yours. Or my house is in front of you. In other words, just to try to clarify this as well as possible, I'm no interest in being a shomer on your money right now. Meaning you're putting me in a position where I'm going to be guarding your money and accepting responsibility for that money. I'm not interested. You want to leave it at my house? Go ahead. Leave it at my house. But I'm not interested in taking liability responsibility for that money. So, Osvina Bevesa V'ignov, and the money was left in the house, and the money was stolen. Asalei Kamid Rava. Now, here, in this version of the story, he never backed out from a verbal commitment. He never wanted to be a shomer in that money, and that's exactly the point. Amrlei Kol HaBesa Kamach Lo Mi Bai Shomer Sachar De Lo Havei Ala Afilu Shomer Chinam Nami Lo Havei. He's not a shomer sachar. He's not a shomer chinam, meaning he accepted no shmira. You basically put the money in his house, but he has not accepted liability. Yeah, but in the first version of the story, wasn't there that exchange of Misha Para, meaning verbal commitment, backing out of a verbal commitment, and not only verbal commitment, by the way, and money was exchanged as well. So he says, okay, good, that's your version of the story. As far as I'm concerned, that exchange never occurred. My version is the correct version of the story, not your version of the story. Good. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Shakesav Yado Yado Al Yonatan Yamar Rabbi Shimon Emasai Bizman Shakesav Peres Biad Mocher Aval Kesav Biad Mocher Peres Biad Lokeach So here, a brisa elaborating on the position of Rabbi Shimon. If the money is in the hands of the seller and the payros are in the hands of the buyer, so at that point in time, they can't retract because the money's in the hands of the seller. So the Gemara says, what biyado? So biyad mocherhu. What do you mean? The kaspa's biyado, meaning what is the price even talking about? We have a full exchange over here. So alamim neisha demei kaspa biyado. Ah, okay, fine. The demei kesef is in the hand of the seller, meaning Rabbi. We just need a clarification. The Brisa told us the same thing the Mishnah did, which is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only one who is able to back off from this from the sale is only the seller, not the buyer. So Pshita, the Gemara says, it's obvious. I'm a Rav HaHachem by my skin. Kigon Shaitza Aliyah Shalokech Muskeres Biyad Mocher. What we're talking about over here is that within the sale, what happened was, is that I rented space in your on your property. In other words, I was a this is a kinyan chatzer. So taima my tikkun rabbanu mashicha shema yom lo nisrafa chitecha baliya hacha brishus delokech ninu v'yinafel delek abones iutarchu maisala. Meaning, what is the reason why the really malser konos money acquires, and what is the reason why the rabbis legislated that it shouldn't? So it's there to serve as a way to protect buyer. But over here, when the buyer is renting space from the seller, so if a fire breaks out, the buyer is going to be super motivated to go there and to go ahead and put out the fire, meaning that there's no reason to legislate in such a case. And let's finish up today with the following. There was a person who gave money for wine. Now, after the seller has collected money, so now he hears that Parzuk is coming. Who is Parzuk? Mishnah Lamelech. He is second to the king. And Amr Le Havli Zuzeh Lo Be'ina Chamra. And he says, give me back my money. In other words, Lo Be'ina Chamra, I don't want your wine. So the Asul Hakamid the Rav Chista Amar Lei Kedarch Shetiknu Meshicha B'Mochin Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchos. And so over here, in other words, when we have now the money having been exchanged, but in other words, the commodity has not yet been exchanged, and when we said that there's rabbinic legislation, which is sales not finalized until Meshicha is done, is that in service of buyer or is that in service of seller? That was a machlokus in our Mishnah. According to the Tanakhama, it's in service of both. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only in service of the mocher, not the lokeach. So the and according to Rabbi Shimon, only the seller could back out, not the buyer. And what we're learning here in the story is kederach shetiknu meshicha b'mochrin, kach tiknu meshicha b'lekuchos. No. In other words, that the Mashiach, the fact that you cannot acquire until Mashiach is done, is both in service of the Mocher and the Lokech. Meaning we follow like the Tanakhama, not like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Adkan. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the topic of Ona'ah.